Hi, this is Michael Dell. You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 44. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm hopeful, Pete.
You're hopeful.
I'm hopeful this cough is going to go away and, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You were sick last week. You were sick as a dog, and Duncan stepped in very graciously. And you're still a little sick this week.
You know, I'm not dead yet. We're not. This isn't quite like Monty Python skit levels, but it's, you know, when you're seriously considering taking random cold drugs given to you by an Uber driver, you might need to see a doctor.
True story. We've been in two Ubers now where you've basically taken drugs. No questions asked. Please, if it makes me better, I'll take it. You're a brave man. Well, John and I are sitting here in sunny, sunny Las Vegas here for Dell EMC World. It's been a great week of sessions, of keynotes, and we also captured some great interviews, I think.
Yeah, I think these were the best interviews we've ever done.
Yeah, I think so.
We got a lot of energy, a lot of different personalities here.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, so what we did is we grabbed three key interviews that we'd like to share with you. The first one is no stranger to the podcast, been on the show before, Mr. Chad Sackett. So let's go ahead and play that one. All right, day one at Dell EMC World. We're here with Mr. Chad Sackett. Chad, welcome back to the podcast.
Pete, it's great to be here, man.
Yeah, good to see you. Wearing purple as always.
I do like this. This is my newest crazy outfit. By the way, the crazy outfit thing started with VMware. So
really?
Basically, you know, founder of Nasira, always wore a crazy outfit. Carl Eschenbaugh always wore crazy jackets. And, you know, with changes, people come and they go, but crazy jackets have to stay. So I want to continue that tradition.
Well, it's funny because I think purple, I immediately think of like Batman and the Joker, you know, the purple. But I saw you on Twitter, you had a Captain America, but well, not Captain America, it was Captain Canada. What's that about?
Suffice it to say, you know, I know that this is going to be playing, you know, after the event. Anyone who wants to tune in to the sheer idiocy of what we're going to pull off on Wednesday, watch it. You'll laugh, you'll cry, it'll be better than Cats. I'll give you one thing, you know, for people to really kind of lead them there. Captain Canuck will make a showing, and suffice it to say that we needed to indemnify the $15 million insurance policy in case I get killed on Wednesday.
Oh, cannot wait. Nice.
Wow. I think we just found the best show in Vegas, without a doubt.
Cirque du Soleil, Chad.
You think I'm joking, guys. I'm not.
Cirque du Soleil, Chad. Absolutely. So, Chad, we're coming up on the 1 year. Actually, we just passed the 1 year anniversary for VxRail.
Yeah, that's right.
So, any lessons learned with VxRail?
Yeah, I mean, a ton. So, first things first, it's been a face-meltingly awesome success. We exited last year, this is the last public statement that we've made on this, north of a $400 million run rate, right? So if you think about the success that vSAN's having as a whole, north of 8,000 customers, and again, that was the last time VMware said something publicly, which was months ago, so now we're well north of that. We're already well north of our $400 million run rate. You know, basically, it's going to be a $1 billion business for software-defined storage, vSAN, and Scale.io on their own. It's going to be a $1 billion business in the form of appliances. Now, what have we learned? Number one, there was a certain critical feature requirement to be compelling to customers, which we crossed over with VxRail 4.0 and vSAN 6.2, where we got to the critical set of things that customers wanted. So anyone who wants to build a competing offer, know that there's a minimal gate of what customers need that is basically that feature set. So if you want to compete, that is what it takes to show. Second thing that we learned is that I'm a nerd, but I'm also a leader of a $5 billion business, so I have to think about business. I learned a lot about HCI and price elasticity. So price demand elasticity, or PED, is an economic term that says, how does demand change as price changes? In HCI, while we have many customers that are buying hundreds of nodes for a single data center, we have customers that are deploying VxRack SDDC that have got, you know, five cabinets. We've got VxRack Flex customers that have north of 750 nodes.
Wow.
And we've got VxRail customers that have more than 100 appliances in one data center. The average node count is 2. And the average ASP is around $70,000. And we discovered that if you are unable to build an offer with low entry points, your demand gets reduced. So even though HCI can scale really big, you need to be able to start really small.
Start small.
And so with the latest VxRail updates where we have single core systems, we can build a 3-node cluster for less than 25K to start,
wow,
which broadens out the market broadly, right? The third thing that we learned is as businesses grow, you have to really focus on support and execution. There was a critical VxRail update, 4.0.132, which is for VMware aficionados, it's the vSphere 6.0U3 rollup, right? A VxRail update is a vSphere update, a vSAN update, a VxRail manager update, a firmware update, all in one system. We've now deployed that to almost half of the entire install base. And what's been fascinating is if we compare it with other field change orders that we've done on VMAXs or on Unity or whatever, it takes months to get to 50% of the install base. With HCI, all we need to do is say, scroll up, click configuration, say update, go.
Nice. And then you update everything.
You update everything.
I remember with, you know, working with Big Iron Arrays and, you know, the era of VMAXs and Thunders and Lightnings and so forth, it was common for customers to be clinging to 3-year-old firmwares.
Oh, because updating it was painful.
Yeah, and they were terrified, and it's particularly, I mean, I guess that's kind of a difference of HCI is with these big arrays, you might have hundreds of hosts and, you know, thousands and thousands. As opposed to HCI, you can roll one node at a time. You can scale down just as efficiently as you scale up.
The thing that I think is going to be interesting and the most amazing thing that we announced this week is this CloudFlex thing. Mm. So we talked about it internally to our teams within Dell EMC in February, and this is the big coming out party where we basically have said we have so much confidence in the offer. And by the way, we're doing it for VxRail and for XC2, right? So it'll be interesting to see what the market response is. We're basically saying you can get an HCI and you don't need to pay anything except for a monthly usage fee. So let's just say that it's a $50,000 VxRail appliance. You can say I'll pay $1,500 a month for the first year. And then in the second year, the price declines automatically to $1,175. And then in year three, it drops to $875 per month, and there's no capital involved. And the other thing that is just, you know, I feel like you know, Crazy Dave, the car dealer, like, this deal is so crazy, I can't believe it.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. There's more in this is that there's no capital required, and the customer can give back the appliances at any time. After the first year, there's no penalty for even returning all the appliances. So the thing that I just think is fascinating is Michael Dell basically challenged the team to go and say, HCI has got a fundamental advantage, which is that you can scale up and you can scale down easily and there's no migrations. We're a private entity, so we don't really care about whether...
You don't have to post big numbers every quarter. This is a continuation of our conversation a year ago of why the merger, and you discussed the whole...
I described in hypothetical.
Yeah.
CloudFlex is the manifestation.
Yeah. No, this is... Yeah, everyone go back to that episode, the EMC World, where we interviewed Chad. I think it was about 3/4 of the way in. And the conversation was about how public companies have to post big numbers and transitioning to an OPEX model.
You remember,
which
John,
customers
want. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, I'm a finance nerd at heart. I love this stuff.
It's been a huge success, and just a huge thank you to our customers, first and foremost. Thank you to the VMware and Dell EMC team, that's the VxRail team. By the way, the other thing that we learned about it is a very basic thing, which is you need to have a common team with a common purpose. And what that means is that the team within Dell EMC that works on VxRail is 50-50 VMware people and Dell EMC people. Their goal is to win in the market, have the best offer. And we've built the same structure for our teams that don't do align things. So the XC team is the XC team. The Azure Stack team is the Azure Stack team. You've got to have human beings driving with a common sense of purpose, and that's been a huge part of the VxRail success.
Well, the other thing we hear sometimes is that, you know, there's a little bit of overlap between what vSAN offers versus Scale.io. You know, is Dell EMC fully on board with the, you know, VxRail as opposed to, you know, is this just another offering that is bait and switch for, say, Scale.io?
So are we all in on it? Answer is hell yes. So that's the short answer. It's interesting because from the top of the company down, we have a very clear and common position on what's the place for vSAN and what's the position for Scale.io. So it goes like this, and it's literally like three sentences. So if you can't follow this, then maybe the problem is you. You know, just problem between keyboard and chair. So number one, that the company belief, this is Dell Technologies, so VMware, Dell EMC, everybody, is that SDS and HCI models are ready for the majority of workloads in the enterprise. In other words, SDS and HCI are the default rather than the exception.
Sure.
Okay.
Start and work backwards.
Right.
So start with that assumption and then find an exception case.
And then find the exception cases. Now, the exception cases are really important. So, like, there are many workloads in most enterprises. I met with one just earlier here, a great customer in healthcare, that basically says, even though we can run Epic on top of vSAN and VxRail and blah, 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 we have a very specific remote replication requirement that cannot be met, and they're deploying it on a VX block.
Sure.
So, but by count, I don't want to lose the lose the punchline, right? SDS and HCI ready for the majority of workloads. Great. Then the second statement goes like this. If you are a VMware customer and you want to deploy in an HCI fashion, where you manage compute and storage as a singular thing, the answer is vSAN.
Yep.
If you are a customer that wants a server SAN, in other words, something that can replace your general purpose SAN, supporting the VMware workloads and non-VMware workloads,
sure,
then Scale.io is your answer. And everybody in our two organizations has got to get that very basic memo. Because the reality of it is that we have the strongest SDS portfolio on the planet, and that so long as we're willing to disrupt ourselves, we will delight our customers and we will own the market through this transition. And by the way, the HCI manifestations of our offers mirror that. So if you basically want to have a VMware HCI, we lean towards VxRail and VxRack SDDC. If you want to have an HCI that is for VMware, but also for non-VMware use cases, and where the storage can be pooled or shared in a way that is analogous to a SAN,
right,
spanning clusters and all that sort of stuff, VxRack Flex.
Sure, sure.
Period.
That makes sense.
The other thing that I think, you know, again, for listeners, I feel embarrassed to admit this, but I will acknowledge it. Sometimes people are not motivated by the purest of motivations about what's right for the customer, and that's bad.
Yep.
Sometimes people are motivated by comp plans and metrics and all that sort of stuff. Every VMware and Dell EMC employee, every one of them, our SDS specialists, every one of them, have total compensation neutrality between vSAN and Scale.io. I'm not sure if everyone's gotten that memo.
Yeah.
but that is a fact.
Public service announcement.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's...
So do the right thing.
Awesome. Well, we don't have a lot of time, so Chad, one more question for you.
True.
We had some listeners email us for future episode requests. One of them that came back was advice for an up-and-coming IT professional on how to advance in this career field. So any thoughts?
Yeah. Let me see. Three very basic principles. Number one, always be curious and always be learning. What ends up happening is that sometimes people, once they build a deep expertise in something, whether they do it consciously or unconsciously, they stay in that domain.
Sure.
Right?
Go with what works, right?
Well, you have to intentionally force yourself to go into areas you don't know and remind yourself that learning is half the fun, right? The second thing is that the domains of storage, compute, networking, hardware, even virtualization, we're getting to the point where the vendor ecosystem is making it so easy, don't go there, right? Like, we are putting those jobs out of
Out of business,
right? We're not there yet by any means, but between VMware Cloud Foundation, VxRack SDC, VxRail, NSX. VxRack Flex, NSX, you know, the domains for being a domain expert in like one domain is not a good place to be. It's a shrinking island. The third thing that I'd say is everyone is rediscovering the joy of building software. So even if you're an infrastructure-focused person, spend some time to learn to code, okay? So there's a ton of resources. Code Academy is one. You can get it for free. You can take some lessons. Try to figure out how to use Python to start. It's the great learning language for, you know, infrastructure coding, and then stretch yourself out a little bit further and further and further. So those three things: always be curious, don't put yourself into one bucket or another, and try to stay out of the things that are commoditizing fast, and rediscover the joy of software.
Well said. Well, Chad, thanks for coming on. We really look forward to seeing your keynote on Wednesday, and best of luck this week.
I hope I don't die.
I hope so too, but I mean,
if you do, I'll be filming.
It would be cool.
If you do, I'll be filming. I'll be viral, so either way, it's a win.
All right, guys, thank you.
Awesome. Always good to have Chad on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great seeing the full, I guess it come full circle, because we, Chad and I, you know, we had that conversation about the merger a year ago, and then we're talking about, again, really the fulfillment of, you know, that vision of shifting from CapEx to OpEx.
Yeah.
I also like that moral imperative, you know, do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. And if you didn't get a chance to see them online, Chad had a great session this week at Dell EMC World where he was, like he said, Captain Canuck. Very, very interesting session, I'll say that much.
Yeah, you're not getting me into spandex anytime soon, that's all I'm saying.
Captain Nicholson, I love it. Captain Texas.
We are all a little Captain V-San.
Captain V-San, I love it. All right. So the next interview we got were from a group of guys that, if you haven't heard of these guys, I highly recommend you go check them out. They call themselves the SevOps. It's three guys. They're all passionate about VMware, super smart guys too, but they do these little short educational videos. That's the SevOps. And they mainly talk about different technologies, whether it's HCI, vSAN, or just anything VMware in general. So here's what the SevOps guys had to say.
I'm Tyler Gates.
And you don't do anything?
No, it's,
you're just Tyler Gates.
You're just Tyler Gates.
Yeah, it's the two-name version of Prince.
Do you work for anyone?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm an SE for VMware, and I'm a vSAN specialist.
Oh, he's a vSAN specialist. I like that.
It's because I'm special.
Yeah, it's because you're special. I'm Russ Cantwell, and I am a partner SE for SHI, actually a sponsor of this event here.
Nice, thanks.
Fantastic. My name is Aaron Bewley, and I lead a team of VxRail and Rack SCDC specialists covering the globe.
The globe.
All right, so tell me this. How did you guys come to form this thing that we now know as SevOps?
It all started back in eighth grade when Tyler and I were in homeroom together. And I turned around and knocked over his Gatorade/Powerade mix that was like 67,000 ounces, and we became friends.
True story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't around back then.
Let me pick this guy up.
I was picked up about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Right? I think actually this started as we were going to do a podcast.
Yeah.
And then we looked around and we were like, man, a lot of people do podcasts and they do it really well. So
we need to differentiate.
We needed to differentiate.
Bring something different to the game.
Aaron had actually entered a competition. Right?
I did, yeah. The Rail business unit thing did a video marketing contest, right? And I was going after that $10,000, but I got second place.
Yeah, we sat down and we were sitting there, we were kind of getting ready to go through our podcast stuff. We were looking at the gear we were going to get and going to write stuff out, and then I looked at him and I was like, dude, what about that video you made?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we just do that? Have like violent cuts and go in and just act ridiculous and... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing I love about these videos is they're really, really professional. I mean, it's crazy. It's like you're watching a professional little skit or something, but they're fast, they're quick.
That's actually all Bewley. He does all the editing.
100% him.
Yeah, editing is a big part of it. I mean, you guys are bringing serious knowledge very quickly, and you can actually learn something on these things, but the editing
is
fantastic.
That wasn't the intent. We were actually just trying to be really loud.
You just like to scream a lot, right?
The idea was really around community, right, and sharing information, and I think that's something that all of us really, really cherish and enjoy about what y'all do and what all the other people out there doing. So
yeah, I mean,
sorry,
absolutely.
I got really heartfelt.
No,
there for a second.
No, but that's good, man. That's what we're trying to do here. You know, we're trying to get that out there. I mean, we try to be not product specific, and then we just happen to have a serious love for vSAN. In fact, prior when we started this, he was not a VMware SE for vSAN.
Tyler was not. Yeah.
No, I mean,
I was dragging him into HCI. Actually, you were embracing it really, really hard.
It was cool. Yeah. It was all new to me. Dragon HCI just seemed, you know, the awesome version of new.
Yeah. It's funny. We had this, like, hierarchy of they would call Aaron first, like, yeah, EMC and DFW, where we're all based, is they would, hey, we need a VxRail presentation. We need someone to do this. It's like, oh, we can't get Aaron. Okay, go to the next EMC employee. Get Tyler. Okay, can't get him. Who's left? Well, call that partner guy, Russ. And it's like it was one of us three for everything that we did. We did a bunch of co-presentations together all around, and so it kind of grew into this. And so just the natural vSAN 6.2, that update was like, this is the thing we got to do for the first one.
No, it's I love the entertainment value, but also the education value. You know, you make it worth consuming, and, you know, it's I also love the noise, you know, the volume. Like,
sometimes I do honestly wonder if people get anything out of it from an education perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Because
it's so much, so dense, so fast.
And yeah, but you get enough, you get curious.
Well,
right?
Your replay is what you do.
Yeah, so. That's what a couple people have said, that they've watched it 5 or 6 times, pausing it. Okay, I'm going to Google this.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to play another 7 seconds. Now I'm going to research this for 5 minutes.
So note, Pete, we need to actually start screaming more and talk really fast and be like, boom, yeah, kids and old people not allowed. And then, Captain Beeson! And then maybe people, and then that'll actually increase our podcast play count, because they'll be like, whoa, that episode happened so fast, I better go replay it.
You better listen to that again.
It kind of like in the vSAN 6.6 when y'all did pour jet fuel on it.
Yeah.
I played that in my truck like 9 times.
I played that in our room like 9 times last night.
Literally, I was going to a customer meeting and I was listening to it. I played it like 15 times. I messaged them on Voxer and I was like, guys, y'all gotta listen to Nicholson. He went full SevOps on the thing. It was intense. I like walked in my customer meeting, and it's like one of my more mellow customers. I walked in, I was like, guys, what is going on? It was great.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Hyperconverge all the things.
Hyperconverge all the things. Not safe for women or children.
Paralyzation.
Good deal. So what's on tap for you guys? What's the next video we can look for?
Ooh, it's going to be 6.6 in detail, I think.
Yeah, how can we not do 6.6?
Yeah, so
right?
we're gonna do kind of a high-level one here locally at EMC World. We're going to do 6.6, kind of our top 10 features that we feel like are really kind of the
feature list is ridiculous, and we always try to keep keep them short.
Highlights.
That was the idea, was keeping it short. We find that it usually takes like an hour of recording to get the 4 or 5 minutes that we do.
Really? An hour?
This is,
best case scenario, it's been an hour of video.
Average is 3 to 4 for sure. It takes us like a week to write these. No.
It takes three to four hours to record. But we have about 2 hours of video when I put it all in the editing
2 hours
software.
Of actual video is present, and then it takes
you can tell,
like
a really efficient process.
To get it done.
Yeah.
Super.
And then people watching, it's like this little 2-minute clip, and they're like, oh, great. They have no idea how much work it's
done. Compress, adjust the SPBM policy a couple times on it, you know, get it down to the final settings.
We're really struggling with deduplication at the moment. There's something wrong with our algorithm. It's taking up too many cycles, and we're not quite able to get it through. There's just a ton of outtakes
of us arguing, and then I just laugh. It's hilarious.
Like, I can't imagine why. Like, normally, we don't argue about everything.
Yeah.
We also,
I get that.
It's amazing because
we argue about everything.
I think of the three of us, naturally, Tyler is probably the quietest person in real life, but he's the one who we struggle to rein in the most when we're filming these things.
I can imagine.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Good stuff. All right, man. Well, that's all I had, really. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. Any guys you ever want to come on the podcast anytime, let me know. We'd love to have you guys on.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Love it, guys.
Later.
This was great.
So, Pete, what I really love of talking to those guys is between videos, they have to plan them out. And obviously video requires a bit more work. Because you can't just edit and splice quite as well as we can with audio.
Yeah.
But what I really like is that they're like, you know, we have to make sure we all have the right energy level before we do this.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're like, everyone's got to be at that high level. And that's really impressive that they're all able to just bring that level of passion to the industry.
Oh, yeah. They do their homework. I mean, they write a full-on script. that covers all the technology, and it's rapid fire. As a matter of fact, John and I had the opportunity to be on their latest edition of the SevOps, where they were at Dell EMC. We're all talking about the features of vSAN 6.6. And yeah, it was like the top 10 best things of vSAN 6.6, which, yeah, great information, but rapid fire for sure.
Yeah, I like that British accent that got thrown in there by Justin. So check out the video, guys.
Good stuff. And then finally, to close out the week, we had the opportunity to talk to our boss, our boss's 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 boss, Mr. Michael Dell. And that was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was amazing. And the passion he shows for technology. This is not just business to him.
Yeah.
This is a continuation of a passion of someone who was in college said, you know what, I can bring PCs to the people cheaper and faster and better than anyone else. And seeing him take that passion to all of IT and infrastructure and seeing that vision, well, anyways, I'll let Michael speak for himself.
Yep. Roll tape.
So, John, you know what today is?
I'm not sure. It's a special day, though. I know that.
Oh, yeah. It's Bring Your Boss to Work Day at Dell EMC World. And with that, we've got Michael Dell on the podcast. Michael, welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast.
Oh, thanks very much. Great to be with you guys.
Awesome. Awesome. So we've been watching the keynote and a great week here at Dell EMC World. But one of the things that stood out to me as a VMware employee was one of the things you said earlier, the first day at the keynote, you said that Dell Technologies loves VMware. So I'd love to hear why you love VMware, but also I'd love to hear your personal experience. When did you first learn about VMware and what experience did you have when you first heard about VMware?
Well, I learned about VMware a long, long time ago. In fact, Dell was an original investor in VMware before EMC bought VMware. So I met Diane and the team and we kind of saw what was going on in the early days of workstation virtualization and then server virtualization. And, look, VMware is an amazing company. It's by far the most successful infrastructure software company on the planet.
Sure.
There's nobody close. And when we look at the trends in the industry in terms of the software-defined data center and the ability to deliver infrastructure as code, and this idea of extrapolating up to the application and the workload level, VMware is beautifully positioned. And it's one of the big reasons why we wanted to combine together, with the EMC family.
Sure.
And so, putting together Dell and EMC and VMware and Pivotal and VirtuStream and RSA and SecureWorks and Boomi and Dell Financial Services and the whole family and what we've been doing here at Dell EMC World this week, I think just really demonstrates the incredibly key role that VMware has, not just for our company, but for our customers and for the industry.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I remember when the deal was first announced, there was a lot of talk about $1 billion of synergy. And I remember thinking to myself, well, there's at least $1 billion of vSAN synergy. I wonder, there's a lot of other $1 billion out there. But it's 1 year in.
A billion here, a billion there.
A billion there. It's 1 year in. A lot has been said about, what the benefits were going to be of, this deal. What are some of the things that people missed? What did the analysts miss? What have been the surprise benefits?
I think a lot of people have been surprised at how smoothly it's gone and how well things have been working and how much there's been a deep engineering level integration, across the family. When Pat was on stage yesterday, there was a great part of his keynote around the deep engineering integration between NSX and Pivotal, Pivotal Cloud Foundry.
Oh, yeah.
And, these are some of the things that we heard from some of the kind of, let's call them lead customers early on. Hey, why don't you get these things to work together better? Oh, great idea. So we sit down in a room and say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? We're blessed to have tens of thousands of unbelievably smart technical people inside our company. And they've come up with some brilliant ideas about even more things we can do to secure the environment, to make it more robust, create more capabilities. And boy, you guys are doing a great job. So I'm really pleased with how it's all coming together. And the reaction from customers and partners has been really strong. One of the things I've heard a lot this week from customers is, oh, now I see why you did all this. It maybe wasn't so clear 2 years ago you know, a year ago, yeah, I'm starting to get it. Now, you know, I think people are totally understanding why we've created this new company and the incredible things that we can do for our customers.
It's the all-star team. It's like the Yankees.
Yeah, I think, you know, each of the companies had a fantastic team of people. And as we put the company together, it's really an Olympic team. And we're, as I said, very blessed to have a tremendous amount of talent across the Dell Technologies family.
Very nice. So I want to back up a little bit, Michael. You know, 33 years ago, you were this 19-year-old kid in Texas, you know, come up with this idea of building kits to upgrade computers. Fast forward 33 years, could you ever imagine that it would be what it is now, not just a computer company, but to basically be the foundation of every data center from all the way up the stack? Could you ever have even imagined that as a 19-year-old kid?
No. You know, there were a lot of things I couldn't have imagined back then. I mean, what I did see was that, hey, you know, these microprocessor-based personal computers are really cool,
yeah,
right? And isn't it amazing that an individual person can now have a computer?
Right.
And think about what a small business or a doctor's office or an architect could do with that. And then to see the incredible journey that we've been on, you know, in this last third of a century is pretty amazing. But I actually think the next, you know, three decades will be far more amazing. And it really comes from what we see happening with the cost of making things intelligent, you know, going to zero.
Yeah.
And what people talk about is the Internet of Things, the digital transformation, you know, anything you see around you that has electricity going through it. Well, there's little microcontrollers and microprocessors back there doing their work. And increasingly, those things are being connected together. That's creating all kinds of data. Then you throw in the machine intelligence, the artificial intelligence, the unsupervised learning, you know, across this enormous amount of data, not just the real-time data, but the historical time series data. And you've got this fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
It's a Cambrian explosion of opportunity. And if you're geeky, or, you know, this is like a nirvana state.
There's no better time to be alive, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
The digital transformation, it's really real. That's something, yeah, I remember when I first started hearing about it from analysts and things. I'm like, oh, maybe this is the new fad. And then I started seeing these very basic companies, you know, in construction or basic services adopting so much automation and drones and embedded systems. I'm like, wow, this is here now.
That's right. I mean, I got an email this morning from a company that we know in Europe that is putting intelligence in its equipment, and they're in the agriculture business, you know, meeting with customers around the world in the most basic industries. They're all finding ways to use digital information, and they're all, you know, trying to figure out, hey, how do I reimagine my business for these new opportunities?
Yeah. Speaking of that, what do you think? And I know you can't read the future, but as an executive and as somebody who's been in the business for a long time, I'm sure you've got some level of vision. I'm sure you think about the future. And what do you think is sort of the next big area? I know Internet of Things is a big thing. We've been talking about that a lot, but what do you think is the next big area to really just burst and grow out?
You know, it feels to me like the combinatorial inventions around what we do with all the data. And, you know, if you think about new businesses that are created and new services, new products, they're usually not actually technology innovations themselves. They're business model innovations built on top of technology. So what we're doing is creating a foundation that's going to allow for all kinds of new innovations in healthcare, in energy, in manufacturing, in retail, in education. And exactly what those are, I don't know.
Sure.
You know? But there's a lot of smart, creative people out there working to figure out how do you change and involve those businesses and again, reimagine them. Given all this new information and data, how do you make products better with code?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. That's kind of the way you opened up the keynote the other day, is you basically said, you're in really good company. You know, you've got all these great, and you showed, the list was pretty impressive. Like you just showed every logo of like every freaking awesome company. And 100% of those is using our technology.
Hey, we're really honored. You know, we have to stay humble here and remember that we have to earn the trust of these customers every single day because they're depending on us.
Yeah.
But we're just very honored to be in the company of all those great, great other companies.
Yeah. Another perfect example is the Virtually Speaking podcast is the best podcast in the world, and it's run on Dell Technology.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Fun fact. Michael, the majority of our audience is either your employees, our customers and our partners, channel, you know, resellers. We've been starting this series that we're going to be building on is because people have been asking us to do an episode on how to advance in this career, this industry in general. So I would love to hear your thoughts. You know, if you could share with some folks that are in this industry what they could do, or if you had any sort of ideas around what people could do to advance their careers.
Yeah, I think it's around this idea of reimagining the future, given all these new scenarios. And how do you get out of the box you're in and understand some of the adjacent boxes and then rethink, hey, what are the new scenarios? I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, here in the United States, we have a pretty low unemployment rate.
Yeah.
And if you look in particularly in some of the new areas that we've been talking about, you know, the unemployment rate is maybe less than zero, right? there's an unbelievable shortage of people that understand what to do with this data, you know, data science. How do you imagine and create these digital futures? And look, there are going to be tons of new opportunities, not to just wash over the fact that there are some big challenges here as well, because the pace of technology is changing faster than people can always update their skills and capabilities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that creates a whole nother set of challenges. But I think, you know, for those that are adventurous and sort of see these opportunities coming, boy, it's an incredible time.
I agree. All right, Michael, last one for you. Real simple question. What, you know, most creative people that are passionate about something, you know, they end up having sleepless nights. You know, it's they end up staying up way too late thinking about the next thing, whether it's anxiety or stress or just trying to make things work. What keeps you up at night?
I've been sleeping pretty well. You know, I'm kind of in the sort of work hard, play hard mode. And when I lay down to go to sleep, you know, I sleep pretty well. I do have this thing where I tend to get up about 6 a.m, no matter what time I go to sleep. So yeah. I need to go to sleep early enough to make sure I get enough sleep. But I'm a big believer in sleep. It's very important. And, you know, fortunately, I haven't been waking up in the middle of the night too much. So
good for you.
Got all the bases covered then. Sounds good.
All right. That's all the time we're going to take up. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And as always, I'm going to extend an invitation to you to come on anytime you want. You've got this medium. Thanks again.
Great to be with you guys. And always love being with my VMware colleagues and looking forward to being on campus, you know, later this week.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. So I really didn't know that he was such a early investor in VMware. That was news to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I hear he invests in a lot of companies, particularly ones that, you know, obviously go big or go home.
Yeah. So. It was really cool to hear his opinion, too, on this whole acquisition, the merger and all that stuff, to have such foresight early on and have so many doubters, you know, wondering what the plan was, and for him to say, look, this is real.
Yeah, I sleep at night. I love that. I sleep well at night. Yeah. You know, this thing's works. You know, it's all a bunch of grown-ups who've come together and built something big.
Yeah. Well, John, I think that's going to do it for this week. It's been a long week here in Las Vegas. We need to pack our suitcases, head over to New Orleans, where we're going to be hanging out with the Veeam guys for the next week. You got your green polo?
I do have my green polo.
Nice.
I'm going to go take a nap, Pete.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go, John. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. We're on our way to New Orleans to hang out with the Veeam guys. And so until then, bye for now.
few weeks ago, I don't even know what episode it was, I turned on the Virtually Speaking podcast, and I have like an hour drive to work every day if I actually go into the office. And so I had loaded it up on my podcast machine, and I don't know if y'all know this, but every single time that the intro comes on, I am like, I'm rocking along right with it. Like, I am literally saying the same words right along with you guys.
I'm headbanging about half the time.
It's funny you say that, because I was like, I should video myself doing this. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. And yeah. I was in the car, true Stevox style. I was wearing all my Bewley Strong stuff.
Nice.
And literally, I just went and I recorded it, and it was ridiculous. I was like headbanging like crazy and just going on. It was like, you go learn today. You know, and just went on through the whole thing.
Sucks.
And then I went to share it.
That's really accurate. Like, I can tell you've listened to this.
I've listened to every episode like 15 times each, and I do it every time. I'm like, I do this in the mirror. I practice it every day. And so that's why I wanted to record it. And I was like, I'm gonna send it to him on Twitter. I'm gonna blow it up like that. And then I went to do it, and Twitter was like, this is too big, bro. Like, that's too much.
It was too big for Twitter.
Because I realized whenever you go to actually try and do this intro, it's much longer than you realize. And it was like a solid minute of me like headbanging, and I was like dizzy. And there were other cars around me because I was driving, like looking over me. What is this guy doing? It is 7 o'clock in the morning.
At least get out of my lane and stop shaking your head.
Yeah, so I got into it and I haven't posted it, but now I feel like I'm gonna have to get it out there.
Yeah,
so.
I want to see it. We gotta see it, man.
Enough of this jibber jabber.